Father, we thank you that you are working out your plan. And we ask that as we turn to your word, you would stretch our minds and draw our hearts after you, that we might see more of your grace and mercy in Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do take a seat. Well, it is said that everyone likes a story. Now, I don't know what your favourite story is. You know, if you had to sort of go on something like, you know, a radio program, television program, they were to interview you and you would say what your favourite story was. Maybe it'd be something from childhood. Maybe it's a book that you've read, a novel perhaps, or a short story. Well, the monthly magazine Wired, which looks at how technology affects culture and the economy and politics, in one of its editions asked several authors to tell a very short story and just use 6 words. Well, let me share with you one or two of the results. Eileen Gunn, who was for many years Microsoft's Director of Advertising and Sales before she gave that up to become a science fiction writer, wrote her story like this. Computer, did we bring batteries? Computer? I can relate to that, having lots of IT failures from time to time. William Shatner, well known as Captain Kirk on the original Star Trek series, he has a more optimistic story which goes like this. Failed exam, lost scholarship, invented rocket. Well, that's a happy ending. And finally, sci-fi writer Rockne O'Bannon has a short story which is suitable for the pantomime season. It's behind you, hurry before it. I hope some of you get it anyway. Well, over the years, we know many stories, and stories are special to us. But as we run up to Easter, we're planning on looking at some of Jesus's famous stories. Stories with a purpose. His parables. Now, in that gospel reading that Christine read for us, we heard about 2 parables. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven or the yeast. Now, these parables both point to the fact that God's kingdom, his loving, saving rule that comes through Jesus, starts very small and unimpressively, but grows to become sizable and very significant. A tiny mustard seed planted in the ground, something you can see a few were gathered together there, grows to become a large bush, big enough for birds like goldfinches to flock onto. Now, the image of a tiny, tiny seed that grows into a tree with birds landing in its branches is reminiscent of one of the Old Testament prophecies from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 17. And it implies that the growth of God's loving kingdom rule will involve all kinds of people from all over the world. Well, in the other story, microscopic yeast spores are mixed together with dough and cause it to rise, and there results a sizable loaf of bread. Now, these stories are meant to remind us of the amazing way in which God's loving kingdom rule starts small but will end up huge. And that is a great encouragement to those who have been drawn to Jesus. For so often in our experience, it seems that things are small and weak and insignificant. But Jesus reminds us in these stories that it will not always be so. God's loving kingdom rule through Jesus is growing and will include all kinds of people from all over the world, eventually in great numbers. Now, Matthew, writing up Jesus' life and words, says, as he records these 2 parables, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, verse 34 of chapter 4, 13 of Matthew, he said nothing to them without using a parable. So Matthew is saying that Jesus always used parables. Yes, he used other kinds of different ways of communicating, but he always used little stories and pithy sayings that involve aspects of everyday life, but which teach us something important about God or life or human beings. Jesus' teaching is full of stories with a purpose. Now, we plan to look at several of Jesus' parables in the coming weeks, and they involve some very surprising ideas, like the story of the dodgy manager, who is said by Jesus to have done a good job. What could he mean? Or the story of the farm workers who feel that they've been treated unfairly, and yet Jesus seems to tell the story as if he approves. Can this be right? There's the story of the woman searching diligently for a lost coin. Why is it so special? Why does she give it such attention? Then a parable involving the shocking ingratitude of a man who has been shown himself great kindness. And the story of the seeds planted in different sorts of soil, where Jesus appears to say that his parables are designed to make it less easy to understand. Is that really true? Well, some of Jesus' parables are clearly not straightforward. And he explains to his friends a little later in the passage that we read in Matthew 13, and we plan to look at this in a couple of weeks' time, that his parables need to be thought about. They need to be chewed over. And that when people do that, yes, some people will still never quite get what they're about, but others will see their meaning and there will be great impact. What's clear is that Jesus' stories are regularly surprising. They are very often tales of the unexpected. Well, to explain something about Jesus' telling of stories with a purpose, Matthew, in our reading, adds that this approach, verse 35, was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Now, those words come from Psalm 78 in the Old Testament, and they show us something very important about the whole Bible. The whole of the Old Testament points to Jesus. The Old Testament foreshadows Jesus. And that's what's meant to be illustrated in that picture there, where you see the Bible, and as it were under each page, there is the shadow of Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection. Now, in Psalm 78, where Matthew quotes these words, fulfilling what was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, the psalm writer explains some of the main events of the Old Testament. That goes through the history, the story of the, the Old Testament people of God. And it's clear that the patterns of history are not, are not always that straightforward. But the psalm writer explains and he shows what it is really all about. He draws out the deep meaning of what happened to the people. And this is the sort of thing that Jesus does through his parables. Parables show us things that have, Matthew 13:35, been hidden since the foundation of the world. Parables help us see what is most important in life, especially about Jesus. So, Jesus does through his parables what the Old Testament does as it points forward to Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all that it teaches. Now, the Old Testament has many ways of doing this. There are some direct quotations that seem to speak very specifically of Jesus. But throughout the Old Testament, there are themes and ideas. There are people that foreshadow Jesus and point forward to him. And there are three particular ways in which the Old Testament does that. One of them is the idea of kings. Now, kings feature significantly in the Old Testament, and they give us a pattern for what Jesus the Messiah would be like and what he would do. When Jesus is born, we're told at the start of Matthew's Gospel that he is the son of David. David, the greatest of the Old Testament kings, prefigures and points forward to Jesus. We're going to sing that great old hymn in a few moments that puts it like this. It speaks of great David's greater son. And when Jesus enters Jerusalem, as we plan to remember in April on Palm Sunday, he fulfills the Old Testament prophet Zechariah's words, "Behold your king coming to you riding on a donkey." Jesus is God's king. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And the Old Testament points forward to him right throughout its message. Well, another key theme in the Old Testament is that of the prophets, the ones through whom God speaks. Now, Moses was raised up by God to bring his word as the first of the great prophets. And yet, as he spoke, he said in Deuteronomy 18, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you." He was saying there's going to be a greater prophet, a far more important prophet than myself. Now, after Moses came many prophets, whose books we have in the Old Testament, people like Zechariah and Ezekiel that we've already mentioned. But all these men were limited. God's final word was yet to come. And the New Testament sees this greater prophet than Moses fulfilled in Jesus. As the letter to the Hebrews puts it, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." So Jesus is the ultimate prophet, which all the other prophets pointed forward to. In Jesus, all that those old prophets did and said has been completed and perfected. But there's a final Old Testament theme that is fulfilled in Jesus, and that is the idea of the priest. Now, in the Old Testament, priests taught the law, and they prayed, and they offered sacrifices for the people to show that sin was serious and offended God, but that God wanted to forgive. And the system involved sacrifices in the temple of animals and ceremonies involving things like the Passover lamb. And all of this looked forward to Jesus, who is himself both the ultimate and final sacrifice and the ultimate and final great high priest who offered it. So all the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, they couldn't really take away sin. But they pointed forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And they pointed forward to Jesus, the great high priest, through whom there is forgiveness of sins and the opportunity of being brought back to God the Father. So all this Old Testament teaching and practice about priests and sacrifices pointed forward to Jesus, the great high priest. And they pointed forward to him because indeed the whole Bible is about him. Well, it is true, I'm sure, that we all like a good story. And Jesus clearly used stories to explain about God's kingdom and him as God's king, showing his truth about ourselves, our world, and God. And Jesus did this primarily through parables. And that is what the Old Testament does as it points forward to to Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all that the Old Testament teaches. Jesus' parables that fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. So as we sit here this morning, most of us not very far away from a Bible, do we see what its central message is? Do we see that the whole Bible, Old Testament as well as New, is pointing forward to Jesus and shows God's plan being fulfilled in Jesus? All those kings, those prophets, those priests, they all pointed forward to him and foreshadowed him. And Jesus' parables, his stories with a purpose, show us more of this reality, as we hope to see in the weeks ahead. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are working out your plan and that you're doing that centered on Jesus, your Son. We thank you for the ways that for centuries and centuries you were trailing him. You were preparing the way for him. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give us all grace, that we might see more of Jesus, more of his significance, and you would strengthen us as we live for him through your love and mercy. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.